May the words of Scripture which we have just heard turn into beautiful melodies in each of your hearts. The epistle from Paul's letter to the Romans, which was read to us by Bill here, I talked about sometimes in our weakness we don't know how to pray. And then the Spirit sometimes will intervene and help us out and supply us with sighs or groans too deep for words, helping us out. I knew a woman once who, as she would walk down the corridors of the building where we both worked, she would issue this deep sigh. And she would do this quite regularly. Deep sigh. And someone told me once that that's a sign sometimes of depression. That's kind of looking at it in a negative kind of way. As I've come to think about it, I sort of thought to myself, well, a more positive way to think about that might be to say that her body, her being, was issuing forth a sign to her, calling out to her. In other words, seeking help. Something is not working. Oh, the sigh. But the sigh is the body saying, something can happen. We can do something. Listen. Listen to me. It's like a little sacrament, a little sign, a plea being issued by the body. So I've come to think of it that way. And it seems to me there's no reason why the Holy Spirit can't use our experiences of weakness, which a depression is a weakness, is a something happening to us. Why can't the Holy Spirit use that to communicate something to us? We may not be ready to put it into words. It's too deep for that at this particular point. But nonetheless, the Spirit can use that. Perhaps you yourselves in your lives periodically, maybe now too, are experiencing a kind of deep yearning in your life. You're not exactly sure what it means, but the Holy Spirit, you know, has something in store for each of us. God treats us each as persons, as the unique persons that we are. Knows us better than we know ourselves. And if there's a yearning within us that we sense repeatedly over and over and over again, we'd best pay attention to that. Listen to that. That's a communication, perhaps, from the Spirit telling us, you know, I have something in store for you. Hear me. Don't run from me. Now, maybe you don't experience that, something like that right now in your life. And that's okay, too. But, you know, the pattern of prayer for us, if the Holy Spirit's going to teach us how to pray, sometimes through these deep yearnings, but the pattern of prayer that Christ has supplied for us in a general way is the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples, you know, are looking for a prayer, Matthew's Gospel says, well, Jesus says, you know, pray like this, and then he gives them the Lord's Prayer. So, you might, if you're not experiencing, not feeling that you're experiencing some kind of Spirit-driven yearning in your life right now, you might go to the Lord's Prayer, and you might go down the various aspects of the prayer, the various petitions, we say. Depending upon how you number them, there can be six, there can be seven. But you might go down them, and you might say to yourself, you know, do any of these petitions arouse in me a yearning, a desire? If this is the pattern of prayer that Christ has supplied for us, well, maybe I should listen to this pattern of prayer. Go down, each one. Does it arouse within me a special yearning? And if it, or at least maybe even just a little inkling of an interest, more of an interest than another one of the petitions, that might be a sign to us that the Spirit is calling us in a certain direction. I once knew a person who did this with the Lord's Prayer and went through various ones of them, and none of them really did so much to him. I mean, they were all, you know, praying for the kingdom and praying to hallow the name of God and so on. You know, you go down the list, and they're all beautiful, but they didn't arouse a resonance within the heart of the person. But he came then to give us this day our daily bread. And first of all, this person thought, well, one of the things he noticed all the time as he was saying the Lord's Prayer is how it talks in terms of us. It doesn't talk in terms of me. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Don't us talk. All this us talk. Not me talk. That was the first thing he thought about. And so he thought to himself, well, that's kind of resonating with me, and maybe I'm a little bit too much me-focused and not enough us-focused. That was the first little resonance within him, yearning the Spirit was at work with. But then why did he stop at this one? Give us this day our daily bread, this thing about the bread. And he was thinking, you know, well, I have plenty of bread. Physically, I'm not hungry physically, but what about the others, us? He began to think to himself, well, you know, maybe not everybody else is so nicely fed as I am. He did a little research, and he found out, this was a couple of years ago, he found out that by going to the World Statistics Organization, we found out that about 8 million people starve to death each year. 1 million of these people who starve to death each year are children. 20,000 people right now, each day, starve to death. He thought to himself, golly, I had no idea. So how many times have we thought about, we say this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, how many times have we ever thought about those people who are hungry and starving? He'd never thought about it before. All of a sudden he did. A new yearning arose within him to try to do what he could, a little bit of what he could, to help this by volunteering, by helping out, by supplying food for others, and so on. Not thinking about, you know, these people who stand at corners and try to beg, not thinking about them in ways that are kind of negative, but maybe more positive. And so on. Well, that's just a little thing that this person did. And we can all do that. We can, in other words, we can ask the Spirit to arouse within us a yearning, helping us to learn to pray better than we do. And in that way, we would be like the parable in the gospel, which talks about, you know, the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, and then it, boom, it all of a sudden grows into this huge plant. So we can start kind of small, like this particular person I'm talking about did, and all of a sudden, boom, it turns into something unbelievably grand.